Welcome back to the deep dive. I actually want to start today by asking you to do something a little, well, a little weird.
Always a good start.
Right. So I want you to look at your phone. Seriously, pull it out right now and just look at it. You probably used the map feature, I don't know, what, 3 times before lunch today?
Yeah, easily.
You tracked your Uber, you watched your pizza delivery guy turn onto your street. Maybe you use one of those little tags to find your keys under the sofa. We totally take it for granted. It's just, a blue dot on a map.
It is, but it's incredibly deceptive. We see that blue dot, and we basically subconsciously equate it with control. We think, I can see it, therefore I know what's happening.
Right.
It gives us this really warm, fuzzy feeling of omniscience.
Exactly. But here's the problem, and this is kind of the core of what we're wrestling with today. Imagine taking that same dot on a map logic, the exact same tech you use to track a pepperoni pizza, and applying it to a high-stakes, literal life-or-death scenario.
Which happens a lot.
It does. I'm talking about protecting a child with autism who is prone to wandering, or, an adult with dementia who might get confused and just walk away.
And that is exactly where the logic creates a totally false sense of security. Because, I mean, a pizza doesn't get scared.
Yeah.
A pizza doesn't hide in the basement because of a loud noise. And it certainly doesn't wander into a busy intersection or panic and get on the wrong bus.
So our mission today for this deep dive is to uncover why standard GPS, the stuff we all use every day in our watches and phones, actually fails in these very specific human contexts. We're looking at a pretty comprehensive analysis comparing generic GPS trackers against a highly specialized system called AngelSense.
Right, and we should note we are working with the latest data and reports updated as of August 2025. So this is really the current state of the art regarding assistive technology.
Yeah, totally up to date.
And just to give you the roadmap of where we're going, we are exploring the massive gap between location tracking, which is basically just finding something that is already lost,
Yeah.
and assistive safety technology.
Which is preventing it.
Exactly, preventing the crisis before it even starts.
It sounds like semantics, I know, but as we'll see, it's a huge distinction. We're going to look at why these repackaged pet trackers are actually quite dangerous in this context, the role of AI in predicting human behavior. And here's the part that really surprised me, honestly, how this technology actually increases independence rather than just, locking someone down.
That paradox of independence is probably the most interesting part of the data. Usually we think of tracking as restrictive, but the source makes a really compelling argument for the exact opposite. But we have to start with the failure points first.
Right, let's look at this repackaging issue. The source material highlights something that honestly I hadn't really thought about before reading this. A lot of the GPS trackers marketed to special needs families, they weren't actually built for them, were they?
No, they weren't.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the dirty little secret of the hardware industry. Yeah, if you strip away the marketing, the hardware and the back-end logic are almost always general-purpose tools. They were designed for fleet management like tracking delivery trucks or, for keeping tabs on the family dog.
Wow.
Then marketing teams basically realized there was a desperate need in the autism community, so they just slapped a new logo on the box and sold it as a safety device.
So essentially, parents are out there relying on a low jack designed for a Honda Civic to protect a nonverbal child.
Precisely. And that leads to the first major limitation the source points out, which is the difference between reactive and proactive systems. Standard GPS is almost entirely reactive.
This is the geofence concept, right? Where you draw a circle around the school or the house on the map app.
Yes, but think about how a standard geofence actually works. It checks in periodically. The tracker only wakes up and tells you something is wrong after the device has crossed that invisible line.
Right. And in the source, they talk about this time gap. Can we drill down into that? Because a gap sounds, I don't know, minor, but the implications seem huge here.
Oh, that gap is terrifying if you really break it down. To save battery, most standard trackers only update or pull the satellite every few minutes, sometimes every 5 or 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Yeah. So if a child leaves a safe zone, by the time the satellite registers the movement, sends the data to the server, and the server actually pushes a notification to your phone, that child could be 3 or 4 blocks away. You are already behind the curve. You're just chasing the dot.
So the dot on your map shows them at the front door, but they're literally at the bus stop down the street.
Exactly. And that's assuming you even get the signal at all. This was another technical point that really stuck out to me, the line of sight issue. We trust our phones so much, but we've all been in a building where the blue dot just spins, or puts us in the wrong spot entirely.
Oh, absolutely. Try using maps in a parking garage or a dense downtown area. It just goes completely haywire.
Right, because that is the inherent nature of GPS technology. It strictly requires a line of sight to the sky. And the source material makes a crucial point here regarding human behavior. Where do people go when they are overwhelmed or trying to hide?
They go inside, they go into basements, school closets, or, you know, deep into concrete structures to get away from the noise.
Exactly. They go to the exact areas where standard GPS goes dark.
Oh, man.
So if you are relying on a standard tracker precisely when you need the location the most,
mm-hmm.
when the child is hiding inside a structured area, the technology is most likely to fail you. It just says signal lost, or it gives you a ghost location half a mile away because it's bouncing off some random cell tower.
There is one more limitation to these repackaged trackers that feels almost like user error, but the source argues it's actually a design flaw, and that's the manual burden on the parent.
Yes, the human element failure.
Huh.
Standard trackers require you to manually set up every single geofence. You have to the app, this is the school, this is grandma's house, this is the speech therapist.
And if you forget to set the fence for a new location...
Then the device is dumb. It has no idea it's supposed to alert you.
Yeah.
If the family goes to a new park for a Saturday picnic, and the parent, who, let's be honest, is likely already mentally exhausted, forgets to manually draw a circle around that park in the app.
The child wanders off, and the phone stays totally silent.
Correct. The technology essentially demands that the caregiver be perfect 100% of the time. And in a high-stress caregiving environment, relying on human perfection is just a recipe for disaster. You cannot design safety systems that assume the user never makes a mistake.
That is such a heavy burden to place on parents who are already managing so much every day. So, okay, we have established that the dog tracker method is fundamentally flawed. It's reactive, it has signal blind spots, and it places a huge cognitive load on the parent. Let's pivot now.
Let's do it.
The source material contrasts all of this with Angel Sense, and the phrase they keep using is assistive safety technology.
Right, it's a shift from just tracking to actual monitoring.
The first thing that jumped out at me in their specs was no setup required. Now, after just talking about the burden of geofences, that sounds a little bit like marketing fluff to me. How can it work without setup? Does it just guess where the safe zones are?
It does sound like magic, but it's actually machine learning.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we get into the AI component, and this is truly what differentiates a dumb tracker from a smart system.
So how does the AI actually function here? Is it like watching them for a week and then figuring it out?
Yes. The source explains that the system utilizes patented AI that builds a model of the wearer's daily routine automatically. It just runs in the background. It's not waiting for you to tell it that Tommy goes to school at 8 a.m. It observes via the continuous data that Tommy goes to school at 8 a.m. every day. It builds a baseline.
So it actually knows what normal looks like.
Right. And because it knows the baseline, it can detect deviations. This is the real game changer here. It's not just looking for, did he cross a line? It's looking for, is this behavior weird?
Weird is a great way to put it. The source lists specific triggers for these alerts. One of them is unfamiliar place.
Which is huge. If the school bus takes a wrong turn, or if the child gets off at the wrong stop, that is an unfamiliar place. A standard GPS might not care because they are technically still within the city limits or whatever, but Angel Sense knows, hey, he's never been here before. It flags the anomaly instantly.
It also mentions leaving a known location unexpectedly, and this one is subtle, but really smart unusual times.
That time context is everything. Leaving school at 3:00 p.m. is normal, so the system ignores it. Leaving school at 10:30 a.m. is an emergency. A standard geofence doesn't know the difference. It just knows he left the circle. But the AI knows that 10:30 a.m. is a massive statistical deviation.
So the real benefit here is shifting the dynamic entirely. We aren't waiting to realize they're gone. We are getting a tap on the shoulder the very moment the pattern breaks.
Exactly. It gives you that precious lead time. And crucially, it eliminates the false alarms. If you get an alert every single time the bus leaves school at 3 p.m., you eventually stop looking at your phone. Alert fatigue is a very real thing. By only alerting on deviations, the alerts actually mean something.
Okay, so let's play this out. I'm a parent. I get an alert on my phone, unexpected departure. My heart naturally drops. The immediate question is, okay, I know something is wrong. Now what?
And this is where the specialized hardware capabilities come in. The source calls this the toolkit for crisis resolution.
Right, which leads us to the communication features. The source really emphasizes two-way voice. Now, just to play devil's advocate for a second, my Apple Watch has two-way voice. My kid's Gizmo watch has two-way voice. Why is this any different?
It's the way the connection is established. For a neurotypical user, sure, it's just like a phone. You hear it ring, you press a button to answer. But think about a child with autism who might be nonverbal, or a child in a state of severe sensory overload or having a meltdown. They physically cannot process the steps to press a button to answer a call. They might not even register that the device is ringing.
Right, that makes total sense. The interface itself becomes a barrier during a crisis.
AngelSense solves this with an auto pickup feature. The caregiver calls, and the device just answers automatically via speakerphone. It bypasses the user interaction entirely.
That seems absolutely critical.
It is. If the child is verbal, you can talk to them immediately. Hey, buddy, stop walking. Just stay right there. But for nonverbal users, the source makes a fascinating distinction. It allows the caregiver to just listen in.
Why is listening in so important if you can't actually talk to them, to guide them?
Context.
Yeah.
You can hear the environment. Is there traffic noise? Are they on a bus? Is there heavy wind? Or, crucially, is there someone else there? You can hear if a stranger is talking to them.
Oh, wow. That literally puts you right in the scene with them.
Yes, and you can shout through the device to that stranger. You can say, my son has autism, he is lost. Please just hold his hand, I am on my way.
You are essentially projecting your voice and your protection to wherever the child is. You're managing the scene remotely.
Exactly. You aren't just a helpless spectator looking at a dot anymore. You are an active participant in the rescue.
The source also lists a few other real-time rescue tools. We've got live location sharing, which seems really handy for police interactions.
It sends a temporary live link. So instead of trying to frantically describe where you are on a map to a 911 dispatcher who's looking at a completely different map on their screen, you just text them a link.
That's so much easier.
They see the exact dot moving in real time. It bridges the communication gap with first responders instantly.
And then there is the remote alarm.
This is for the hide-and-seek nightmare scenario. If the GPS says the child is in the park, but you can't see them, maybe they are in a dense bush or in the middle of a crowd, you can trigger a loud alarm on the device straight from your phone.
It basically turns the kid into a beacon.
Yes. And combined with the indoor locating feature mentioned in the source, which is just really cool tech, by the way, it uses nearby Wi-Fi and Bluetooth signatures to pinpoint location even when the GPS fails.
Wait, how does that work if I'm not actually connected to the Wi-Fi?
You don't need to connect. The device just sees the signal strength of the routers nearby. It reads the magnetic footprint of the building, essentially. If it sees the Starbucks Wi-Fi getting stronger, it knows you're walking toward the Starbucks. It allows parents to know which specific room of a school a child is in, not just the building itself.
That is a level of granularity that generic GPS just cannot touch, because standard GPS can barely tell which side of the street you're on half the time.
Correct. It's all about redundant connectivity. The device auto-switches between GPS, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and cellular. It's stubbornly refusing to let that signal-lost message appear.
And one small detail I loved in the report, the app displays the wearer's photo.
It seems trivial, I know, but in a panic, parents suffer from cognitive freeze. They struggle to even describe what their child is wearing. Mm. Or, if you're sharing that link with a search party, having the face right there on the screen saves precious time.
Mm.
And speed is everything here.
So we have the AI, we have the communication tools, but here is the twist. And I love a good counterintuitive point. Usually when we talk about tracking, it feels like surveillance. It feels like control. It feels highly restrictive.
Feels like a digital leash.
Exactly. But the source argues that this technology creates freedom. It creates independence. How does tracking someone make them freer? That really feels like a contradiction.
It's the paradox of safety. Think about it from the parent's perspective. If you have no way of knowing where your vulnerable child is, what do?
You lock the doors.
You lock the doors. You hold their hand everywhere. You hover. You restrict their world to keep them safe.
Right. Fear completely dictates the lifestyle.
Exactly. But when you remove the risk of the unknown, you can actually allow for exploration.
The source brings up the SOS button here as a tool for agency.
This is key. It's not just the parent tracking the child. The wearer can press a button on the device to request help. It gives them a voice. It says, I'm uncomfortable, or I missed my bus. It empowers them to initiate the solution rather than just being a passive object being tracked by someone else.
And they mention using the system for skill building, specifically for teens.
Yes, imagine a teenager with autism who wants to learn to take the public bus to the library. Without this tech, the parent might just say, "It's too dangerous. You might get off at the wrong stop. I'll just drive you."
Which keeps them completely dependent.
Right. But with AngelSense, the parent can use turn-by-turn tracking. They can sit at home, watch the dot, and only intervene if absolutely necessary. They can call and say, "Hey, you need to pull the cord now for your stop."
It's like digital training wheels.
Exactly. It is
Yeah,
digital
it's,
scaffolding.
yep.
It allows the individual to practice being independent with a massive safety net underneath them. The source mentions parents guiding a lost child back to safety remotely without physically going to get them. That is a massive confidence builder for that child. They realize, "Hey, I solved this problem."
So it moves the entire category from surveillance to empowerment. I really like that. It transforms the disability experience from one of confinement to one of managed exploration.
Well put. Very well put.
Now let's ground this. We have talked a lot about the tech, but the source includes some real-world case studies that honestly gave me chills. It helps to visualize what this actually looks like in practice.
These stories are the so what of the entire discussion.
Yeah.
Data points are great, but the stories show the real impact.
Let's talk about Tommy.
Tommy is a classic wanderer. The source notes that before this technology, when Tommy would wander, it took an average of 30 minutes to find him.
30 minutes is an absolute eternity.
In 30 minutes, a child can cross major highways. They can fall into water. 30 minutes is more than enough time for a tragedy. With the proactive alerts and the live tracking, the data shows his caregivers now find him in under 2 minutes.
From 30 minutes down to 2 minutes, that isn't just an improvement. That's a completely different reality. That's the difference between a panicked neighborhood-wide search party and a minor correction.
It really is. And then there was the story of the library incident. This one really highlights the communication aspect we talked about earlier.
Yeah, this was the nonverbal boy, right?
Yes. He was dropped off at a public library by mistake. It was a transportation error. Now, usually this ends with a terrified child, a 911 call, police involvement, and honestly, a lot of trauma. Police aren't always trained to handle nonverbal autistic behavior.
That's a very real fear for these families. A simple misunderstanding can escalate so fast.
But in this case, the mom got an unexpected location alert immediately. She saw he was at the library. She realized what happened. She just drove over and picked him up.
It was a complete non-event.
That is exactly the phrase the source uses. It turned a potential headline tragedy into a mild inconvenience. And the author emphasizes that this avoided police intervention entirely. It acted as a crucial buffer.
And finally, the teen case study.
This was a high-risk elopement teen, someone who runs away frequently. Because of the safety net, he was able to stay in his local school and complete his education independently. Without the safety net, he very likely would have been placed in a much more restrictive environment or a residential facility.
It's amazing how a piece of plastic and silicone can actually change the entire trajectory of someone's life like that.
Well, it's not the plastic, it's the logic behind it. It's the deep understanding of the user.
So let's wrap this up. We started today with the blue dot on the map.
And we realized that a dot is just data. Real safety is about context.
We moved from reactive, where did they go, to proactive. He's leaving right now, act now.
Yeah.
We saw how AI fills the gap that human attention can't always cover.
And we saw how two-way voice and specific rescue tools turn a parent from a helpless observer into an active, capable rescuer.
The key takeaway for me is that real safety for vulnerable people isn't about coordinates at all. It's about communication and speed.
And anticipating the specific, unique human needs of the person actually wearing the device.
Which leads me to a final thought I want to leave you with today. When we say assistive technology, what pops into your head? Probably a wheelchair, maybe a hearing aid, or a prosthetic limb. Physical things for physical challenges.
Right. That's the standard definition we all use.
But I think we really need to expand that. This is intelligent software that learns our daily habits to keep us safe. It's essentially a prosthetic for judgment. It's a wheelchair for safety awareness. If technology can buy a parent like Tommy's mom 28 minutes of time, what other human anxieties can AI solve? What is the next disability that software will make invisible?
That is a truly fascinating question. If we can outsource our hope or vigilance to AI, what does that free us up to do? Probably simply to love and enjoy our families more without the constant fear.
And on that note, thanks for diving deep with us today.
Stay safe out there.